Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop.
Welcome to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Herron. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
No problem, Jason. Glad to do it.
Well, Coach, first and foremost, congratulations. A big win this Friday night over the Valdosta Wildcats, who are ranked number 3 in the state. And I feel like, you've been back almost 2 years, and that might be the biggest win since you've been back, Coach.
I don't think there's any question about that. And it was something that we needed. It was, as one guy said, was that good for your team's soul? And I said, well, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it was good for a lot of things. So, anytime you beat Valdosta, one of the most storied programs in the history of high school football, it's a big deal. Winning another region game and putting ourselves in a better position for seeding purposes in our region was huge as well. And, we talked about it as a staff that, our next step in our progression of trying to get to where we want to be is we had to beat somebody that nobody thought we could. And, I certainly felt like there wasn't many people that thought we could the other night. And that was really good for our soul, for our kids, for our players, for our community to finally do that.
Coach, I thought it was huge in the football game that we got the ball first and we took the ball and we did one of those traditional Camden County wing tee drives where we kept it the majority of the quarter, drove it down the field, punched in the end zone to get up 7-0 and score first. Did you feel like I did, that scoring first was kind of a big deal?
Well, I think that way every week, but honestly, we wanted to kick off and play defense first. I mean, that's what, I told the captains before they went out there, and, that didn't happen, and we made a mistake, missed a block on the kickoff return, wound up, I guess, on our 15 or 13-yard line, in our first play we had scripted was a pass play, and one of our receivers ran the wrong route, and, we wound up 2nd and 10. And so I'm thinking, this ain't good. We're going to have to punt from our end zone here on the first possession as well as, they could play defense. But then we got a couple of good plays and got us going. And, yeah, it turned out to be a great drive. My hat's off to our offensive staff. They had a great game plan. And our kids executed it well for the most part. We had a few blips there, but to be able to drive the ball for that length of time, that amount of yards on Valdosta's defense at the beginning of the game, I'm not sure anybody expected that. We felt like that our offense gave us a chance to move the ball against them because of the nature of what we do. But I'm not going to lie either. Now, I was surprised that, we started out the game that well. And kind of finished it like that, So I thought that was a really good sign for our team.
I did too. That vaunted Valdosta defense was averaging, giving up 4 points a game. And then, we do a long, methodical drive right down the field and play Camden County football and just watch them not be able to do anything about it. Do you think that might have, with the kids, after we score the touchdown, they come off the field thinking, man, we just drove the ball right down the whole field?
Well, our kids understood how good Valdosta was on defense. And there was no hiding that. You couldn't show them film where they didn't look good, And so they understood how good they were and still are. And there were times we didn't block them necessarily. We just got in their way. But if we'd had to sit in there and pass block those guys and tried to pass protect against those guys, they might have killed us. The offensive line might have quit at halftime. But, again, what we do kind of negated some of the things they were great at and gave us a chance. And then on top of that, our offensive line just played really well. And our backs did too. You know, our backs had to block, our receivers had to block, and they ran hard, made some yards after contact. And again, it was one of our better offensive performances since I've been back.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, at 5:07, by my count, unofficially, Jaden Daly busts a 2-yard touchdown to put us up 7-0. And in my opinion, I feel like with all the talented backs we have, Jaden Daly has pretty much stepped into the role of being the guy that we most depend on.
Well, you know, in our offense, that changes from year to year, you know. But Jaden's had a very consistent year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to say he's the best one we have because we have some good ones. But he has probably been the most consistent running back for us all year long. And, you know, a fullback in our offense gets a lot of carries, but we expect him to block. And, you know, what a lot of people didn't see was he had some tremendous blocks the other night as well. But he's a great young man. I mean, you know, Monday in the weight room, he squatted over 500 pounds. You know, and he's tough to bring down. And, you know, hopefully he'll get a chance after next year to go on and have a good college and hopefully future career after that, because he's a special running back mm-hmm. now. He really is. And, you know, but again, you know, there's no running back in America can run well without somebody blocking for him. And our line and other backs did a good job blocking. But Jaden's consistency is what's been good for us this year, for sure.
Yeah. Coach, they get the game tied after, you know, we go and score that touchdown and go up 7-0. They answer. They get the ball to midfield, I believe it was. And then I think their running back broke about a 47-yarder. Did we miss an assignment somewhere, or did they just make a play?
If I'm not mistaken, we had a punt block before. Didn't they score the first one off the punt block? Maybe I'm wrong about that, but.
Yeah. I think that was the punt block was in the second quarter, and they went up 14-7 on that.
Okay. Yeah. I had it backwards.
Okay. Sorry. Maybe I do. I don't know.
No, which is a good thing. It means I'm not watching Valdosta as much as I'm watching Lowndes right now. So, you know, we did give up a long run, and, you know, at one point, and they tied it up, and that was frustrating. We just had two kids overrunning, you know, two young kids, and their eagerness, they overran the guy, and he can't cut back on us. And, you know, and then we had the punt block that led to a touchdown for him. And that one was really frustrating because we worked really hard on it. And, you know, we had several breakdowns, and the punter took too long. And, you know, everybody, all 11 of them were responsible for the punt block, I'll tell you that, and plus coaches. And it was frustrating because we got to be better than that in special teams. But, you know, felt really good at halftime because one of their scores had come off a punt block and one of them had, you know, come after a short field, I guess. And, you know, so I felt like our defense was playing pretty well. I felt like our offense was playing pretty well.
Coach, one of the key plays in a football game, you're talking about going to half right before the half. They get in position to kick a field goal, and then our defense pushes them out of field goal range. So they end up having to take a shot at the end zone right before the half, and they catch the dang thing right there at the 1 or 2 yard line, and then we tackle them and keep them out of the end zone with no time left and send them to the half looking at that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was almost really bad. And, you know, we had worked on that. We, you know, after last year and had kind of having something similar happen to us against Lowndes, you know, we had worked on that every week. We go over it, but we did not handle it well. We our secondary kind of blew it again, and we weren't in the position we were supposed to be. But then they had a really good receiver that went up and out jumped us for it, and those things happen, you know. But we were very fortunate that he didn't come down in the end zone. And, you know, they were out of timeouts. We had run our punt team on late and then ran our offense back, and they'd had to call a timeout there a little bit earlier. And so we knew they were out of timeouts. And so, you know, when we saw that he called it, but he was in the field of play. You know, I took a sigh of relief there because if they'd had a timeout, you know, they would have probably at least gotten a field goal out of that.
I'll talk more about that when we come back, Coach. More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show for the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Are you looking for a better way to bank? Hometown people that you know? Look no further than Marshland Credit Union. Marshland Credit Union is here to help, no matter if it's a mortgage, car loan, or even finding financing for that boat you've always wanted. 7 convenient locations in Glenn and surrounding counties, checking, savings, you name it. Marshland Credit Union wants to be the answer to your banking needs. MarshlandCU.com, 912-279-2000. Marshland Credit Union,
welcome back
a better
to
way to
County
bank.
Coach's Show with Head Coach Jeff here on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Marshland Credit Union. Coach, before we went to break, we were talking about the timeout that we stole from them. That's kind of how I view it. I said a lot when I was calling the game that I loved it. I thought it was well planned and well done, well coached, and the players executed it well. You know, we've got the fourth down offense on. We run the offense off, try to run the punt team on, which we have done a couple of times this season. And then right in the middle of all that with Valdosta changing, we pull the punt team off, keep the offense on, and Valdosta's all discombobulated and they have to burn a timeout. Talk a little bit about that, Coach.
Well, it's something that we had worked on for sure. And you know, our goal was either they'll have to call timeout or we'll catch them with too many men on the field, or we'll run a play and pick up the first down. And, you know, so we had three options there that our kids knew that, you know, two of them were on the refs and on Valdosta, and one of them was us. And, you know, if they didn't call timeout, then I was going to have to make a decision, you know, do we go for it or not. But, you know, we'd also just had a punt blocked, so I thought, well, this is a smart thing to do right here. That's a tough thing. I mean, you know, people have done that to us in the past every now and then, and you know, you get yourself caught, and you got to call a timeout, or you got to risk having too many people and giving them a first down. But you know, I'm sure now people have seen us do it that you know they'll work on that and all that. But you know, to do it and do it right, you got to be willing to run a play with the offense, and you know, it didn't come to that the other night, but it might the next time.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, we steal that timeout from them, and then when they complete that pass right there before the half, they can't call timeout to stop the clock, and it goes to zeros on them, and they get nothing out of what could have been a disastrous play for us. Coach, moving to the third quarter, we're trailing 14-7, and then with about 3:35 to go, Mason hooks up with Quan Floyd on a long touchdown pass, a thing of beauty. Quan was standing in his own zip code when he caught that thing.
Yeah, you know, it's, again, I think people don't understand. And, you know, in our offense, we can throw the ball. And, you know, I've always looked at it like you want to throw the ball when you want to throw the ball, not when you have to throw the ball. But, you know, we had stumbled upon a new formation there kind of in the third quarter that was giving them a little bit of a problem. And, you know, same plays, different formation. And when we had some success running the ball out of that formation, their adjustment, they kind of over-adjusted. And they had not done that in the first half. They had a really good plan. but got their secondary a little bit discombobulated there, I guess, and just a little tweak of a formation, and Quan was wide open, and Mason hit him in stride pretty much, and it was a good feeling watching him run down through there with everybody chasing him.
I have to admit, when the ball was in the air, and I looked to see what I first saw was we had a receiver that was open. And then my first thought was, please catch it. And then I looked to see who the receiver was. And then once I saw it was Quan and the ball soon, I was like, oh, he's going to catch that. We're going to score on that. And, of course, he did. So, Coach, I think, my opinion, there are three huge plays in this. Well, there are many plays, but the three biggest plays in this football game, two of which we haven't talked about, but here's one of the big three in Jason Bishop's opinion. They run this formation where they've got four receivers on the field, and they're stacking them both on each side. And they try to run a receiver pass. And quarterback tosses the ball to the receiver. We come up to make the tackle. He rears back to throw. Ball gets deflected. Jake Lindsey intercepts it. I think it was DeNigel Cooper that deflected the pass, if I'm not mistaken. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ball gets deflected. Jake Lindsey intercepts the pass. We take over. If we don't deflect that thing, it looked open from where I was sitting, and that might have gone for a score.
It was open from everywhere you were sitting, anybody was sitting, and it was a great play call by them. They snuck the back out of the backfield, and our linebacker didn't see it, and our backside safety didn't see it. And so, they had thrown a pass, and we're getting ready to throw a double pass. And actually, Jamar Lee Riddle, who was coming up to play the first pass, he jumped up and got his hands on it and tipped it. It was a great design by them, and something we had not worked on this year because we hadn't seen it out of anybody else. And we were very fortunate on that one that they didn't get the ball to the guy. We've actually put that one in ourselves. I told our coaches, I said, that's tough to defend. We're going to put it in our arsenal, too, so, just in case somewhere down the road somebody else might have a problem with it.
Yeah. You're listening to the Wildcats Coach Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, and then we get to the fourth quarter, and, Gabe Kaysen had missed a long one earlier in the game, and, with the score tied at 14-14, all the pressure in the world on his shoulders, he steps up and he nails one. I believe it was about a 33-yarder. He puts through to put us up 17-14. I bumped into his grandmother and his great grandmother earlier in the season in the parking lot after one game. I don't remember the game, and we were talking to them, Walt and I. And I told him, I said, at some point, Gabe's such a good kicker, he's going to win a game somewhere for us. And there it was.
Yeah. Ironically, I told him at halftime when he was warming up, I said, Gabe, I said, I believe the thing's going to come down to a field goal and you're going to win it for us. And, he's just looked at me and, when he went out there and he missed one and, he came to the sideline all depressed. I said, you'll get another chance. And then we called an onside kick that, he messed that up a little bit, So, he was frustrated by those two things, but he sure was happy about kicking that field goal. And he is extremely talented, Jason. We've talked about that in the past. He, maybe the most talented kicker that I've ever coached, and I've had some really good ones. But he's like any other kid. He's still young, and if his confidence gets rattled a little bit, it affects him. So he's got a bright future ahead of him, and we just got to keep him from losing that confidence because he's good when he feels it, and he is really good.
We get the field goal. We get up 17-14 as the game starts to wind down there about mid-fourth quarter, I guess. They've got a chance to tie it. They've got a field goal that lines up for them right in the middle of the field between the hash marks. I mean, you couldn't have lined it up any better for them. Wasn't a terribly long field goal. And we make a play. Ian Peterson comes up, gets his hand on the football and blocks the kick.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great effort by not just Ian, but several guys. Christian Dallas was right there. Dylan Higginbotham, he might have blocked it if Ian had not. We had guys off the edge that had a great shot at blocking it. And you know, then after we block it, man, I thought we were going to pick it up and run it in for a touchdown. And, you know, Jake Lindsey had his hands all over it, and he was trying to run, pick it up at the same time, started stumbling, and, you know, but it wound up going out of bounds. And, you know, from that point, you know, we told our offense when we huddled up, I said, you know, we've got to go out here and end this thing. And, you know, there was almost 7 minutes left, I guess. And I'm not sure how many timeouts they had. They had one at least, if not two. And, you know, for us to go out there and finish the game like we did and just run the clock out on them was huge for our kids and for their confidence.
I feel the same way. And, you know, we had that big drive in the first quarter, our first possession, a big long drive, and then a big long drive at the end of the game to milk the clock and run the clock out them, run the clock out on them. And you put those two drives together, that's a whole quarter that we held the football on offense and didn't give them a chance. So yeah, I thought our kids did a great job too, coach, and the coaches as well. I want to talk a little bit right there at the end of the game. They burned their last time out, and then it was almost, I don't want to say it was anticlimactic, but it was, we run a play, I believe Quan got the ball, we run a play, and Quan gets tackled, and then all of a sudden we look up and the game clock is underneath the play clock and we realize we just beat them.
Well, the official on our sideline, he actually told me, he says, coach, you're all just going to take a knee now. And, you know, when we got the first down on that possession, you know, and I looked up at the clock and the play clock, and I looked back at him and I said, you know, we can't do that. You know, there's too much time left. You know, we can't just take a knee. And, you know, I was right. I'm not saying he was wrong in that particular instance, you know. And so we felt like we had to run a play or two. And, you know, on the last one, the decision was made that, you know, if we run something wide to the wide side of the field, you know, and it was Shamarion Gibbs actually running it, but, you know, told Shamarion, you can't go out of bounds, you know, but if you run, you know, we run to the wide side of the field, and Shamarion did a great job of not going down. And, you know, yeah, it was about 45 seconds or something like that when they actually tackled him, but by the time they had set the ball, it was like 39 seconds.
Right at it.
You know, so we knew then that we didn't have to run another play. They were out of timeouts. But had we just taken a knee, the ball would have gotten spotted quicker. And, you know, we'd wound up with a fourth down situation having to try to, you know, back up and run some time off the clock that way. And I wasn't a fan of that, or lining up trying to punt. I wasn't a fan of that. So, you know, we thought running the ball to the wide side of the field and had the best chance of getting the clock under 40.
Okay. We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Family fun in the Golden Isles for all ages? Brunswick Adventures, family-friendly indoor play place. Bounce houses for the little ones and a trampoline park for all ages. Locally owned and operated. Don't forget the party rooms for your private events or that special birthday. Brunswick Adventures, 5581 Habersham Street in Brunswick, 912-342-7427 for more information. Or check us out online, brunswickadventures.com. Football season is here and we are going long at Jessup Furniture. Living room suites, dining room suites, patio furniture, luxury furniture at outlet prices, all the brands you like, Universal, Hooker, Ashley, and more. Jessup Furniture, over 50 years of helping people just like you. 651 Scranton Road in Brunswick, just down from Old Times, 912-267-1897, and look for daily deals on both Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Brunswick Adventures and by Jessup Furniture. So, coach, we go to 6-3. 2-1 in the region, huge win, upset the number 3 team in the state. And so we get the week off. And then after that week, we'll host the Lowndes County Vikings, a team that we're very familiar with. Haven't had a lot of success with those guys recently. I don't think we've beaten them since 2015, if I'm not mistaken. We'll have them here, and we'll have, you know, depending on what happens this week, you know, we'll have playoff seeding on the line. And if you don't mind, we talked a little bit about that before the show. Just run down that scenario for us pertaining to, you know, how the seedings could or could, you know, might play out.
Well, like I told you before, I'm not exactly sure. There's a lot of variables right now, and, you know, one of our region's tiebreakers comes down to points allowed. You know, if certainly it's head-to-head, but if you get three teams that all three beat each other, you have points allowed in there, and you have record versus 7A competition in there. And in either one of those scenarios, we're kind of hurt by that right now, in my opinion. So, you know, the way we're approaching it is this, and again, 99% of the scenarios that I could put on paper, this is what it comes down to for us is, you know, we have to beat Lowndes to be second and be at home for the first round, which hadn't happened in a long time either. If we don't, we will wind up fourth in all likelihood and have to go on the road to Carrollton, Georgia, which is where we always go for camp, and we all know that's a long bus ride. So, you know, our approach is just this. We're not worried about what anybody else does. We're not worried about, you know, what happens this week. Our focus is we've got to beat Lowndes to ensure we get to play at home in the playoffs. And that's been a big deal. It was a goal of ours. We said at the beginning of the year, guys, you want to be playing at home in the first round. You want to make somebody from Metro Atlanta come down here as opposed to have to go to Metro Atlanta. So hopefully our kids will get their focus right on Lowndes and we'll be able to do that.
We played Colquitt a couple of weeks ago, didn't have a lot of luck with those guys. They are very good. And then Lowndes took their shot at them last week, and Colquitt beat them pretty handily too. And I'm sure you've probably looked at Lowndes on tape. What have you seen?
Well, they're a very good football team. I mean, don't make, you know, no mistake about it. I don't care what the record says or whatever. They still got a good football team. And, you know, if you compare scores relatively, I mean, you know, Colquitt beat them by the same margin they beat us. Valdosta beat them 13-7, you know, and we beat Valdosta by three. So I told someone earlier, I think this year my personal opinion is, you know, Colquitt's head and shoulders above the rest of us. But us, Valdosta, Lowndes, Richmond Hill, you know, are all right there where any one of the four could beat the other one on a given night. And, you know, so Lowndes has got a good team. And we'll have our hands full with them. We lost a very, very tough, heartbreaking loss to them last year, you know, right at the end of the game. And, you know, that still sticks in my craw that we did, and we didn't finish that game like we should have. So, you know, hopefully that'll motivate our kids and our fans and everything. And, you know, having a home playoff game on the line, hopefully that will get everybody excited. And you know, we'll have a huge crowd and, you know, be able to play well again. Well, we're going to have to. I mean, you know, it's Lowndes. I mean, we've played them a bunch of times. We know they're a good football team. They're well coached. They've got athletes. They're going to play good defense, have good kicking game, all those things. I mean, they're a typical South Georgia Region 1 team. And, you know, their record I don't think is indicative of how good they are because they've lost some close games to some really good football teams. And so we'll have our hands full with them, and especially – if we don't put this Valdosta game behind us and get our minds back on, mm-hmm. on where we're supposed to be moving forward.
That's a good point. I don't know how good their quarterback is, Lowndes, but one thing I do know is I sure am glad that Ja'Kuri Brown has moved on from over there.
Well, they've got another good one, and they do a lot of the same stuff with him. But, yes, he was a special player, no question. And I'm sure he's probably doing the same thing in college. I haven't had time to watch. But the kid, young man they've got, is really talented too. And, you know, really talented receiver, running back, quarterback. Defensively, they're same old Lowndes. You know, they line up, play hard and fast and hit you. So and great special teams. So, again, it doesn't get much easier. You know, you're not going to have an off week in our region for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach, thank you very much. And thanks for joining us for the Camden County Coaches Show with Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. For Coach Heron, I'm Jason Bishop signing off. Let's go, Cats.